I am so sick of snow. I never want to see another piece of snow in my life. If I go to the movies and there's snow in the scene of the movie, I will walk out. I will never look at another snow cone the same way I used to. I don't want to see snow. No white stuff coming down from the sky. I'm not into it now. I work and live in the Boston area. That's where this show emanates from. This will be, tomorrow is predicted another nor'easter, N-O-R, no T-H involved here, and then Easter, and Easter is coming up rather soon, oddly enough. Every time there is a storm, there are high winds, rain or snow, knocks power out, people freeze, they have no food, they have no water, they have no life. And then 3 days, then they get their life back a little bit, some of them not at all, and then another storm comes 3 days later, knocks out power again, drives people crazy, disrupts their life, they get their power back eventually, some don't even do that, they remove the trees from the power lines, dig out from the snow, plow the whole bit, and then, okay, good now? Okay. Hey, here's another storm tomorrow. This will be the third storm in 10 days. I mean, come on! Come on! Tomorrow's storm in the Boston, New England area, which covers all of Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, I don't know, everywhere apparently in New England. And predicting 12 to 18 inches of snow widespread, even possibility up to 20 inches of snow. 20 inches of anything is way too much. I can take an inch or two of things. 20 inches is way too much, unless it's popcorn. Other than that, even popcorn. Now, popcorn you can move quite easily. It's like styrofoam. It's not a big deal. But snow, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done, man. I'm done. And where am I going to move? Where am I going to go now? Here's how bad it is. I have a snow shovel. It works really, really well. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it at all. The blade of the snow shovel is orange. That way, no matter what, no matter how much it snows, I can't lose the snow shovel. I am actually, this morning after the program, I am going to go to a hardware store where they sell hardware. I'm going to buy a second snow shovel. Ron, I thought you just said you have a snow shovel and it works really well. Hey, yeah, I know, but now I'm into backups. Things are so bad, I'm into backup plans now. Just in case that shovel breaks, what would I do? I couldn't remove my snow. I'm going to have a backup shovel. This is like a bad marriage. My wife's really nice, but I'm going to have a backup somewhere just in case she doesn't work out. It's the same thing. I'm so depressed.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Not in a serious way, just in a comedy way.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah, this is where it's going to get. This is about it.
Whatever.
Okay, Nicole.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you, Nicole. Okay. Okay, Julie, now you.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you. Welcome to the program. Oh, man, you know, seriously. See, here's the thing. There was a giant snowstorm like earlier in the season, and it socked the Rochester and Buffalo area. They had 2 feet of snow, and I remember sitting in my house saying, "Those poor suckers, man! I wouldn't want to live there. 2 feet of snow. Wow, that's crazy." And I just sat here and ate my sandwich, and you know, did what I did. Now the tables have been turned drastically, where the area that I live in, it keeps getting socked with snow. It's like being a boxer and you're in the ring and the other guy is beating the crap out of you and you fall to the mat and then you get up a little bit because you have instinct survival things going on in your body. You get up and then the other fighter says, "Oh, you're getting up, huh?" Hits you square in the jaw, knocks you out on the mat again. You're squirming. You go, "Oh, man, I can't take it. This one's even worse. I don't know if it's the effects from the first one with the second punch, but, man, I'm out. But I got to get up. I got to get up." And you get up on your feet, and here comes the other boxer coming at you, gives you a blow to the stomach, knocks the wind out of you. You're on your back. The third time now, you're going, "Oh, I can't stand it anymore. I'm going to quit boxing. I'm going to move and quit boxing." And everybody's saying, "Stay on your back. Stay on your back. Don't get up. Don't get up." That's the way I feel about the snow. I'm going to stay on my back. Don't get up. Jim Clambaker is our meteorologist here on the Ron Van Dam Show. Let's see what Jim's got to say about this upcoming storm.
Hey, everybody. This is Jim Clambaker with your New England Broadcasting Weather Outlook. Well, no surprise to anyone living in the Northeast, but we're in for another stretch of weather that makes people want to beat each other to death with hammers. So if I were you, I'd hide the hardware and keep the sharp stuff away from Grandma just to be safe. I swear, if we get 12 more inches of wintry death over the weekend, I'm just going to have somebody take me out like Old Yeller because I am done. If this weather hasn't driven you stone-cold, batshit crazy yet or turned you into an alcoholic, well, brother, you're a better man than I am, because to be honest with you, I have been kicking back cheap whiskey like it's mother's milk for the last 3 days. I have not been on a bender like this since my first wife left me for a one-armed lady kickboxer named Lefty. And let me tell you something else. If one more of these vicious little systems comes whipping down out of Canada to tear us a new asshole, we're all going to be humping reindeers and eating lutefisk. Oh, what? Too obscure a reference for you? Well, Google it. It's not like you're fucking going anywhere. You're stuck in the house with all the goddamn snow. Here's your winter travel advisory. Get the fuck out of New England. You're going to die. Would someone please freshen up my drink? I'm starting to feel again. This is Jim Clambaker with your New England Broadcasting Weather Outlook. Back to Ron Van Dam. Who's probably going to die in the snow.
Great, thanks. Thanks, Jim. Excuse the profanities. Somehow they leaked through. Clambaker doesn't kid around, man. And Jim, the storm is Tuesday, not this weekend anyway. Whatever. Doesn't even really matter. What's the difference? Anyway. Oh, man. This is just awful. Last night, American Idol made its, reared its ugly head again is what happened. American Idol was on the air for, 27 centuries? And then all of a sudden, people watching American Idol said to themselves, "I don't know why we're still watching this." They actually said that. They said, "I don't know why we're still watching this. People are winning the American Idol thing for like a decade now, and I still don't even know who these people are. So like, you know, maybe 3 or 4 of them went into the recording industry. The rest of them are probably doing little harbor cruises somewhere, and that's about it. Maybe doing karaoke somewhere in a Chinese restaurant. I don't know. But apparently it was insignificant. So American Idol went off the air. And there were many singing competition shows back then when American Idol went off the air. And American Idol said, this is not working anymore. We're done. For some reason, I guess Ryan Seacrest said to himself, I'm not making enough money right now, and these sexual assault allegations are not good, so I'm going to have to turn my life around. Can we do American Idol again? So ABC said, yeah, let's give it another shot. They're bringing Roseanne back. Why not American Idol? So last night, quote-unquote, began the journey. And I started watching American Idol, and immediately I said to myself, now I remember why I stopped watching this show. It's entertaining for, if the show was half an hour long or maybe even an hour, I'd say maybe I can stomach some of it if I have to watch it. But I don't have to watch it because there's 6,000 things on TV now with Netflix and Amazon and all those kind of things. I don't have to watch this TV stuff anymore. American Idol last night was 2 hours long, and that's like a really long movie, and I realized I don't need to be tortured any more than I already am. I do live in New England where it snows every other day. Torture, I've had enough of it. I'll confess, stop torturing me. So there were some very good singers on American Idol, and all I did was realize, yeah, a lot of people can sing, and so what the hell do I care? How does this affect my life? And what kind of competition is this? I kind of realized, again, as I realized when American Idol was on before, I just kind of don't care anymore. It's not significant to me. I don't really care. And of course, American Idol sometimes will go into the backgrounds of some of these would-be singers, and then they play very sad music in the background. And that's what they do. They see if they can pull you in with the heartstrings. They do the best they can, although heartstrings never really pulled me into much of anything. It doesn't really work with me. But this is what they do on American Idol. The next contestant is Betsy Walker. Betsy has a very sad story. She died at the age of 7 and was reincarnated at the age of 8. She was brought up in the woods by a very strange woodsman who is totally naked all the time except for his axe. Betsy finally went to the big city where she decided she would be a performer. She would be a singer. Everybody was saying, Betsy, why don't you shut up and just go somewhere else? Like, go to Hollywood. Go far away from me and just go. Betsy did. Then she was walking down the street one day, and an agent said, you know, we're doing American Idol again, and you should be auditioning because you can't sing to save your life, but we can all laugh at your attempt to do so. What do you say, Betsy? She said, what I've gone through in my life, yes, I will do it. Just last week, she told the producers, she went into an ice cream shop on Las Olas Boulevard, and she wanted vanilla ice cream. They were out. They only had vanilla ice cream with fudge swirls in it. Betsy said, I don't like fudge. She broke down and cried. Ladies and gentlemen, Betsy Walker. And, of course, the judges hear her story. They ask about her background story just out of chance. And they happen to have some tape that they shot with Betsy telling her background story. We didn't know this would come up. What a coincidence that is. And you hear this tape of how her life was horrible, how she died and was reincarnated, and people couldn't stand her and told her to move to Hollywood and things like that. And this ice cream story just, that is more than most people can possibly take. The endurance to hear that ice cream story is just, it makes me cry. It makes me cry. And now Betsy walks in front of the judges. They hear her ice cream story and about her sordid past, and they feel for her, but she can't sing at all. She's horrible. She can't sing, but they say, it's okay. You win the competition. I don't know. I hate that show. I will not be watching it ever again. And just to make sure that I don't watch it again, I will actually, I have a DVR. I have Comcast Xfinity. Still don't know what Xfinity means. I have no idea. I don't know. It's not a word. They made it up. I don't know what it means. I know what infinity is. It like goes on forever. Certainly not the case with Xfinity because my cable box has gone out numerous times. That doesn't go on forever for sure. So I don't know what Xfinity means. I can't use it in a sentence other than that damn Xfinity thing. I can't stand it. Xfinity charges too much. That's how I use Xfinity in a sentence. Other than that, I don't quite get it. Much like Verizon Fios. I don't know what Fios is. I know it probably stands for something, but I don't know what it does. I don't know what it stands for. They made up the word, and now we consider it part of the English language, which never existed. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in any way, shape, or form. Anyway, I have a DVR. I can record anything I want with my Xfinity Comcast thing, and I have actually gotten into the Xfinity box and demanded that it never record ever American Idol. And even if I'm in a weakened state or I'm like totally drunk and I want to record American Idol, I've instructed my cable box not to do it. It's like an alcoholic. You know, hey, give me a drink. Hey, give me some money. I want to go down to the casino and gamble. No, I can't. You asked me not to give you any money or any alcohol. Now give it to me. I'm sure I was only kidding. No, I cannot do it. It's that kind of thing. I'm just so bummed out about this snow thing. I can't stand snow. I can't stand it. I want nothing to do with it. As I've said, if I go to the movies and there is a scene in the movie with snow in it or snow on the ground, I will walk out of the movie theater. I will walk out. I will not tolerate that crap. I will no longer tolerate that crap. I have my morals. I usually like the winter. It's nice and cool and chilly, and people are wrapped up in coats. They're all toasty warm. Some of the best holidays happen during the winter. You go through the Halloween thing where the children are running around asking for candy from house to house, little death wishes, you know, that's fine. And then Thanksgiving, where families get together and friends, if you happen to have any left. I'm talking about families and I'm talking about friends. I'm down to zero. You sit around the table and you eat and you drink and you don't have to go to church. I mean, what a holiday. I love Thanksgiving. The fall colors, the leaves dying and falling to the ground. What a lovely concept. And then Christmas comes, you know, when everybody's supposed to be nice to each other for about a 3-4 week period of time. All of a sudden, nobody hates each other. I don't fall prey to that. I still hate people. A little holiday isn't going to become between me and my hatred for many people. That shall remain. But Christmas, you know, you give gifts to people, they give you things you don't want, and then you give things to other people, and they seem to love it, and you go, uh-oh, that wasn't even. You know, yeah. And then after that, you got January, February, March, which all suck. You just keep your fingers crossed that you're going to survive it. And even people in the South, it's even worse for them because they don't have snow shovels or snow plows. If it snows in Atlanta, those people are done. They're done. They have no way of getting around. They don't know what to do with snow. They have no idea. It looks pretty, but then they say, what do I do with this now? I wait for it to melt? What do I do? And or they get ice storms, which is even worse than snow. Ice storms even worse. You can't even walk. You can't even go anywhere. You can't drive anywhere. Tons of accidents. Cars skidding off the road, skidding into each other. Ice is the worst. They get ice. They don't get snow as much. They get ice. And people in Florida, man, how many sweaters do you have? They don't have winter coats in Florida. They just have sweaters. I don't like sweaters. Reminds me of Mr. Rogers. Wonderful, wonderful man. I never met him on purpose, but I mean, I never met him, but he wore sweaters, and that bothered me. I was like, put a coat on, man. Sweater is a little dorky, you know, especially with the elbow patches. That's like really, really outdated. Well, that show's outdated. He's dead. There you go. But that's all people have in Florida, sweaters. That's all they have. They don't have winter coats with hoods. They have no idea. Their iguanas freeze. They don't know what to do with them. It's a horrible thing. And then flooding all over the place in the Midwest and the tornadoes. I mean, it's bad enough to have snow all over your house. It's another thing for your house to be gone. That's a little bit worse. You know, oh, a tree fell on my house. Oh, my goodness, that's horrible. In Tornado Alley, I mean, like, it's not like a tree fell on your house. It's like, where's my house? My house is gone. I mean, you can't do repairs on your house if you don't have one. That's bad. That's really bad. And then the flooding, oh my God. I mean, I've had like the first storm that we had just 10 days ago here, I had flooding in my basement. I had about 2 inches of water in the basement, which eventually went away. And I'm saying to myself, oh my God, 2 inches, everything's wet and destroyed that was on the basement floor. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, there are people whose basements are no more. They have, it goes up to their first floor. Their living room is underwater. That might be a little bit worse, Ron. Always count your chickens before they hatch. I don't know if that's the phrase or not. I have no idea. I'm not big on phrases. Because phrases, everybody says phrases. I don't want to say things that everybody else says. I don't want to know the catchphrases. I'm not interested. If you used a phrase, I'm not going to walk around using the phrase as well as if I came up with the phrase. That's what people do. They say these phrases, count your chickens before they hatch. Again, I don't even know if that's a phrase. And then it's the same, I've talked about this before, it's the same thing where it's like it's December 31st and people walk around saying, see you next year, which is tomorrow, you know, because that's the new year is the next day. So they see you next year, but they say it like they think you've never heard this before. And they actually laugh when they say it, when they think that they are being really, really funny and really cute. That is the biggest delusion in the world. No, actually, the biggest delusion in the world is President Trump. It's the second biggest delusion in the world. For people to think that they're saying something funny when it's not. And your response should be, what are you, stupid? That's the stupidest thing. Everybody says it. Shut up, you uncreative, delusional little piece of crap. But we don't say that. We titter and we laugh like we've never heard it before. See you next year. Oh, I get it. That's tomorrow. It's so fun. Never heard that. That is so creative. Where did you find that's really funny? You're so funny. How did you become so funny? Was it? How did you do that? How did your humor come to you? We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back. My guest today is an NFL New England Patriot, I believe. His name is, I watch football, but I don't know who's playing. I know the quarterback and some of the receivers, but other than that, I don't know their names. I don't follow it. I don't care. It's just a spectacle to me of people running around throwing balls and being knocked down and totally don't care. Malcolm Mitchell is with the New England Patriots. I do believe. He's actually written a children's book. You usually don't think that a tough NFL football player would actually write a children's book, but he did. And we're going to speak to him right after this.
Gentlemen, did you ever notice that it always seems to be the ladies who pamper themselves with a spa day, with the mani-pedi and the facials and the massage? Do you ever think maybe you'd like to have a special day for yourself, but you are afraid it might be a little gay? Well, good news, gentlemen. Now you can have your own special spa day at Ramon Ramirez's not-so-gay salon for men. Let Ramon Ramirez take the stress off a tough day with a long, deep massage. It's not gay, it's therapeutic. After you relax, Ramon Ramirez will use special oils and lotions and maybe clean up some of your hairier man parts. It's not gay, it's hygienic. A lot of guys are doing it. Then it's time to kick back and let it all hang out in a long steam room session with Ramon Ramirez. It's not gay, much. So gentlemen, why wait? It's time for you to have a great day for yourself at Ramon Ramirez's not-so-gay salon for men. Please, no fat guys.
Hey Malcolm, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine today. Malcolm Mitchell is a New England Patriot, a world champion New England Patriot. And he joins us now for a very interesting reason, actually. He's authored a children's book called The Magician's Hat. And may I say, Malcolm, as you would expect me to say, we usually don't match up children's books with NFL players.
I understand.
You understand.
But I appreciate you acknowledging, you know, the book and having me on here to talk about
sure.
it. Thank you.
Sure. What drove you to do this?
You know, growing up, I fell in love with reading, uh-huh. which inspired me to write. And reading had such an impact on my life. Uh-huh. Writing a book such as The Magician's Hat, which influenced kids to read, yeah. and through reading they can accomplish their goals, became just a mission of mine.
Yeah, this you've been a literacy advocate for quite some time, I understand. You really believe that children need to read and get that proficiency, and that their lives can be fuller when they are into the literacy end of it.
Yes, I'm a firm believer in reading can truly reshape the way people approach their lives. Mm-hmm. And I speak from experience. You know, I wasn't an avid reader growing up, mm-hmm. but I adopted books around 19, 20 years old. And from the moment I did that, my ability to communicate effectively, to think in a broader way, and to truly embrace change just shifted completely. So getting kids to understand the importance of reading and how reading can help them is something that I'm trying to do in The Magician's Hat.
That's very cool. How did you put it all together? I know that you have an incredible illustrator. I have the book in front of me. The pictures are colorful and very involving and very universal, too.
Yes. Well, my Scholastic family, that's who published the book, definitely helped me. You know, I came to them and I said, I want a very vibrant book mm-hmm. that teaches kids how to read, and the book's about magic, so I would love for the book to look magical. And Joanne, the illustrator, did a phenomenal job in accomplishing that. So she definitely should be acknowledged. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah, well, these books are a team effort. And of course, you're at the head of the team there, but it's a team effort, very similar to what you do with the Patriots. Team effort makes magical things happen in the long run. What is the age group that the book is intended for?
The book is intended for ages 4 through 8, mm-hmm. Around the kindergarten and first grade, grade levels.
Uh-huh. Okay. And is it first intended for a parent to read it with the child, or how do you envision this, the involvement?
I envision teachers reading to their students, mm-hmm. Parents reading it to their child, kids reading it for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, there's been statistics proven that actually reading aloud with your kid enhances their ability to comprehend information. And once a kid begins to read it themselves, their ability to, you know, continue to do that process just increases the time. So I love for the book to be involved in someone's life, and especially kids' life, several different ways.
Reading's a very interesting thing, because at first it is a it's a teacher and parent involvement with the child. The book is usually read to them. They request it to be read to them, sometimes over and over again. And then you grow up a little bit, and reading becomes a very personal thing. It's between the book and yourself and nobody else. And that's a personal relationship between the book and the person that we tend to be losing in society today. So it is one of those magic things that still should exist.
Yes, I love to lose myself in a book. It challenges me to think differently, and also challenges me to look at my life and see, you know, are there some comparisons to the characters, or you know, what are some things about the characters that I like to implement in my life? Depends if I'm reading fiction or nonfiction. But reading is a truly magical experience, especially if you learn how to embrace where a book can take you.
Did you do this? Did you put this book together on your off time, or while you? Because
to answer your question.
Yes. Because otherwise, not possible.
No, during the season, it's impossible.
Yeah.
We're just so focused, so locked in on the next opponent.
Yeah.
You know.
That's crazy, man. I don't know how you do that. I just don't. That's like living. It's like living two lives. I mean, you have downtime for a lot of the year where you can pursue yourself, and then otherwise the focus is like intense. It's just wow. It's like two different worlds, isn't it? Yeah.
I had to stop watching so much SpongeBob, and that gave me time.
There you go.
To put the book together.
Yes, it's a SpongeBob world, is what it is. I think sometimes football is even a SpongeBob world. Anyway, okay. So it's called The Magician's Hat. It's available everywhere, I assume, right?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Hey, it's fun speaking to you, and thanks for the information. Is there a website where we can visit to get more information or to follow you or something?
Yes, the book will be everywhere from Amazon to Barnes & Noble. I also have a foundation called Share the Magic Foundation, which you can read a lot more about at readwithmalcolm.com.
Okay.
You can just learn about the different things we're doing with the Magician's Hat and how we're trying to promote literacy and book ownership in the lives of kids.
Great. Let me say something nice about you, if I may. You know, when you have a position in the public, such as you do, where you have the public watching what you do, that's the idea of your profession. It's nice when people like yourself take advantage of that and spread a good word to the public as well. And it's not like necessarily giving back. It's just that it's nice to see someone in the public eye who takes advantage of that and throws some good out to the people. So thank you for doing that.
No, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. That's very nice. I just think it's important that we just help as much as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Some of us are very fortunate to be placed in opportune situations.
Yep.
You know, it's not something that we deserve, you know, because all of us are born the same, but... Mm-hmm. You know, when we have the ability to share our passion, to try to help others, I think it's best that we do that. And there's millions of different ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
My way is just literacy and my love for reading and writing. So I appreciate you acknowledging that.
Very good. You're a cool person. Thanks for the conversation today, Malcolm.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right.
Hope you don't get a concussion. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be with you again tomorrow if we still have power in studio. Until then, I wish you peace. That's not even funny.